This is rare for me to have notes. But maybe this one matters more than most, I don't know. My main reason is I wanted to start with some acknowledgments and thank yous, and I wanted to make sure that I thought of everyone, but I'm probably not gonna think of everyone. First of all, my family, my siblings, Marianne, Janet, and Greg are here, and Marge and Mary Schulte, who are like family. And I have several cousins and their spouses here, and I wanna thank you for being here. It's a privilege to have you. This vestment that I'm wearing is the vestment that I was ordained in 50 years ago. And my sister Janet made it. I want to thank all my former parishioners for all the different places I've been. Starting out at St. Xavier's in Junction City. That was my first assignment as a deacon and then later as a priest. Clyde and Clifton, all three Salina parishes. They just couldn't get me out of Salina. And then finally, this wonderful place, St. Thomas More. I want to acknowledge a couple of individuals. One is Kevin Wilmot is here, and he was kind of a student of mine at St. X all those years ago. I first met him when I was a deacon in 1975, and we've remained friends ever since. Kevin, I think, is probably the only living Kansan with both an Oscar and a BAFTA. BAFTA is the British Oscar for the same film. And over the years, Kevin has taken several opportunities to thank me for all I've done for him, so I want to return the favor. This is the first chance I've had, Kevin, to thank you for what you did for me. And aside from just wonderful friendship, there's the films that you make. All of Kevin's films are in some way or another about race and racism. And over the years, Kevin just keeps raising the bar about what that means. And so a few years back, we team taught a course called Is Father Frank a Racist? And although I never thought of myself as a racist, Kevin has opened my eyes to the subtle little ways that we all share in that, what's sometimes been called the original sin of America, racism. And years before Hollywood seemed to realize that the Civil War was not about states' rights, but it was about slavery, Kevin was saying that in his films. And the pinnacle of that, I think, is CSA, Confederate States of America, which basically makes the point that while the South lost the battles, they won the war through Jim Crow laws and segregation that lasted all the way up until the Civil Rights Movement, but is still very much with us today. And I want to thank a couple of people who were at the ordination besides family. Leon Lang is here, and Leon was the guidance counselor at St. X High School when I was on the faculty there, and we spent a lot of hours in his office solving the world's problems, and we've been good friends since, and he was at the ordination. And the other person in the room, I think, who was at the ordination is Mary Wheeler, and Mary and Phil, and she was on the faculty there at St. X. And I remember we used to have a lot of faculty parties, and any excuse would do. But one time they decided to celebrate my 5th anniversary. And at that party, they said to me, "We didn't think you'd make it this far." I'm over that. No, I've thought about that 100 times. Back then, I was so young and green and immature and irresponsible, and I think it was grace that got me through, because I don't think I can take credit myself. But that parish, St. Xavier's, they loved me anyway, and they nurtured me and guided me, taught me how to pray, taught me how to be a pastor. And the faculty of St. X High School was a big part of that. So thank you, Mary and Phil, for being here today. I want to thank my fellow priests who have been very important to me over the years. More about that later. Bishop Vinke, thank you for your presence here today. I've been blessed with pretty good bishops. When you're a teacher for 50 years, your students remember certain lines you said, and you get quoted over and over again. And quite often those are misquotes, and here's one. I said one time in class, got carried away, and I said, bishops can be jerks. But the way it gets quoted is, all bishops are jerks. So I'm here to tell you that that's not necessarily so, and it's not automatic with ordination. Okay. Thank you to Thomas More Parish for holding me and reverencing me and loving me for the last 11 years. It's been a delight to work with this parish staff, which I invented, that I inherited. Talk about a Freudian slip. I inherited them from Father Don, who really put this staff together. And they've just been wonderful to work with, and they have done yeoman's work in preparing for this celebration this afternoon, thinking of so many details that I would not have thought of and taken care of it for me, and I'm so appreciative. And I'm appreciative of the councils in this parish, the finance council and the parish council. They've been a delight to work with. The Knights of Columbus and Thomas More Ladies are two of the finest organizations I've ever had the privilege to work with in a parish. They are fun to be with. Both of those groups raise lots of money and then give it away. They are about service, and they have a good time doing it, and I have been privileged to be part of that. I'm appreciative of the choirs that are here today, but they're with us most Sundays of the year, and the voice choir and the bell choir, and just wonderful leadership from Kelly Smith, who her husband and I love to make fun of her for obsessing about the choices for music every Sunday and working late hours doing that. But the reality is that the payoff is big. I love preaching, and then when the prayer over the gifts, when that offertory song comes, it says the exact same thing I said, only more poetically. And that's a wonderful feeling to have. So thank you. And the bell choir, a number of these people have been there since its inception. The loyalty and dedication to that choir has been wonderful, and Pat Bidwell, thank you for directing that all these years. I became a priest 76 years ago. In May of 1950, my parents took me to the parish church at St. Mary's in Russell and had me baptized. I was baptized into the priesthood of Jesus Christ, as were all of you. In that first reading, God, through Moses, says to those people, I have chosen you especially out of all the world which is mine, but I've chosen you to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. So the idea of a common priesthood dates way back to Exodus. And St. Peter, in his first letter in the New Testament, picks up on that notion and he says, we are a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, God's own people. And Israel's commission from God was not to proselytize. Israel never went out and reached out to the pagan nations and tried to convert them to Judaism. The idea was always that they should live such just and holy lives that the rest of the world would want what they have and would come begging for it. And that was God's experiment, you might say. And in various places in the prophets, they keep repeating that same notion. What other nation is there that has such a God as we have, who loves us the way our God loves us? What other nation is there that has such a just law as we have? And of course, the prophets berate them for failing at that mission. But the mission was always there. And St. Peter and St. Paul, other New Testament writers, they pick up on that theme of Israel and see the church as the new Israel, a kingdom of priests. But 50 years ago, I began to share in another part of that priesthood. I was ordained. And it's not my own priesthood, and yours is not your own priesthood. It's a sharing in Christ's. There's only one priesthood in Christianity, and that's the great high priest, Jesus Christ. But through baptism, we all have a share in that one priesthood. And Christ is eternally offering himself on the altar in heaven. He's doing that priestly act of laying down his life, of the complete self-offering for our salvation. And he has invited us into a share in that, that we should be offering ourselves. The great innovation, you might say, about Jesus over the Old Testament sacrifices, he didn't offer an animal. He didn't offer incense. He didn't offer bread. He offered his own self. And again, he invites us through baptism in that same kind of priesthood. Some of the baptized are ordained not to do the priesting for everyone else, but to live priesthood so vibrantly that it would call forth that priesthood from the others. It's not done in place of them, but for them and with them. And what is this priesthood that we all share? It's the self-offering. It's self-sacrificing love. And Christ himself, of course, is the model for that, his paschal mystery, his self-offering on the cross. But long before that offering, the paschal mystery really begins with Christmas. It begins with the incarnation. And today's gospel gives us some insight into that. It says Jesus pitied them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now the Greek word there is often translated as pity. But the word pity, in English at least, kind of assumes that the one who is pitying is of a higher stature than the one who is suffering. And of course, God is higher than we are. And so we talk about Christ coming down from heaven, descending and joining the human race in the incarnation. But that's not the attitude that Jesus seems to have had. A better word maybe would be compassion. And compassion is from two words, with passio, with passion, to suffer with and among. One psychologist described it as leaky margins. In other words, the margin, the separation between heaven and earth kind of got blurred by Jesus' incarnation, because heaven was wedded to earth and God became human. This leaky margins is this inability for me to distinguish my heart from your heart, my suffering from yours. They bleed into each other. Christ was anointed priest, prophet, and king. And so are we. That's in the words of the baptismal rite, that we are sharers in his priesthood, in his prophecy, and his kingship. He's a priest by becoming the offerer, the altar, and the lamb of sacrifice. He didn't just function in the temple, he became the temple. And he was prophet because he fulfilled all the prophecy of the Old Testament, speaking the truth. Not just with his mouth, but by being the word, the expression of who God is. In his person, he reveals the meaning of all existence. And he's king because he rules with true justice, not like earthly kings, but a heavenly king, defending the rights of the poor. The wealthy and the powerful cannot buy him off. And he invited all of us to share in this. He now anoints you, this is from the baptismal formula, he now anoints you with the chrism of salvation so that you may remain as a member of Christ, priest, prophet, and king unto eternal life. This is the priesthood we share through baptism, offering our very lives, not just during the liturgy, but in the world. This is the prophetic stance that we are urged to take, proclaiming by our words and by our lives the word of truth. This is the royal administration with which we have been charged, to act justly, to defend the poor, to be free from the powers of this world, with our eyes ever on the kingdom, working to transform this world into that kingdom. My 50 years of ordained priesthood have been a mixed blessing. I've inspired some, but I've scandalized others. I have studied and taught, but the truth still remains elusive to me. I have governed collegially much of the time, but I have sometimes forced my way. I have shared myself generously much of the time, but I sometimes guard my privacy. I have preached the gospel, but I have not always lived it. I preach the laying down of life in service, but I do not always do that. I preach what we Christians have nothing to fear, but sometimes I'm afraid. I believe in synodality, but I sometimes struggle to know what that means or how to live it. My shortcomings make me sympathetic with those of others. I know that I have no reason to be arrogant or judgmental. Rather, I count on the understanding and patience of the others around me. I'm particularly grateful to my fellow priests. Their fraternity has been one of the true joy and strengths of my life. I have felt their support and friendship and above all their acceptance of me. I love you. I've spoken of ordained priesthood as calling forth the baptismal priesthood of others, but the reverse is also true. The baptized elicit a priestly response from me too. I have for a very long time been grateful for what I receive from others, a sense of appreciation, encouragement, correction. From time to time, people have offered me the hard truth about myself. Accompaniment, fellow travelers on this pilgrimage to the kingdom. I have been immensely blessed in that so many people have journeyed with me generously. I thank you for helping me be the priest that I am, and I look forward to walking together with you for years to come.